If Reality Check Radio enriches your day and life, support us to keep bringing you the content, voices, perspectives, and dose of reality you won't get anywhere else. Visit www.realitycheck.radio/donate.
Well, it's been, what, 5 weeks almost, or maybe exactly dead on, that we last caught up with Tim Wilms of the Unshackled.net in Melbourne for our update from Australia. So we've kind of been living on nothing or fumes regarding that, along with everything else, for the last period of time while RCR was off. But I'm really happy to welcome Tim back to the program from the Unshackled.net, Melbourne, Victoria, Australia. Tim, welcome in.
Thank you, Paul. Great to be back. And it's fantastic that there was such a big response to RCR's fundraiser. And obviously, even though New Zealand, it's only a small nation, there is huge demand for real independent media. And certainly, it's great that RCR's voice is now back louder than ever. But your mainstream fake news media, well, that's just continues to have a slow death. Is anyone watching the Stuff 3, Channel 3 news?
Well, the Stuff version hasn't gone to air yet, to be fair. That's still a few weeks away. But yeah, good question. As I've been saying, in reference to our experience in the last month, or just over a month, it's been a hell of a ride. It's been historic, but what it does is forces attention and, I guess, introspective thinking with the other media organizations of how they've got to build a sustainable model into the future as well that's beyond just the old advertising model. That's a real challenge. It really is.
Well, I'm sure they'd all like to go back to the good old days when the public could only get their information from television, radio, and newspapers, all filtered by these big media conglomerates and the taxpayer-funded government news. Certainly, I believe that our mainstream media would like that as well. That's why they've been cheering on the Albanese government and the eSafety Commissioner's crusade to censor the internet, where Australia is once again a global embarrassment.
Yeah, okay. So I guess we're talking about, you know, social media censorship. Obviously, we're aware of the stabbings, the Bondi stabbing, the church stabbing, and an Elon Musk victory in court. I guess it all kind of joins up together. Let's start with the events, how they were covered, and the reaction to them, which I think involved an emergency cabinet meeting. Is that correct?
So the Bondi stabbing carried out by Joel Couchy, we don't need to say alleged because he was shot dead by a heroic police officer.
Well, they made a bit of a deal out of the gender of the police officer, I noticed. I would have thought any police officer in that situation, I mean, good on her. Would have done that. I mean, that's what you got to do in that situation, isn't it?
Oh, well, guns are great gender equalizers.
Yeah, well put. Yeah, okay.
So even though he had been diagnosed with schizophrenia since he was 17 years old and had a fascination with knives, it certainly was a failure of our mental health system. But because five of his six victims were women, there was one male security guard who was murdered by him. At New South Wales police believe that he targeted women. And I've previously talked about some of the horrific, alleged murders that have taken place this year, particularly in Ballarat, where there's been the alleged murder of three women. And so This culminated in another domestic violence crisis campaign. So there was national rallies to end violence a couple of weeks back, and Anthony Albanese made a hash of it when he took the microphone at the national rally. He said, Me and my Minister for Women, Katie Gallagher, asked to speak, but we're told that wouldn't be possible, even though he's got the microphone there.
Yeah, how did he manage to pull that move? Did he just grab it, did he?
Well, the organiser, Sarah Williams, asked the crowd whether they wanted to hear him speak since he was at the rally. And so when he said that, she accused him of saying a flat-out lie, and then she cried. So she leads an organisation called What Were You Wearing, which is...
Okay, yeah.
...based upon that a woman can wear whatever clothes she wants. She was never asking for it.
Yeah. Okay, so I think the woman in question was it the organiser of that event. I saw a video of her crying. She sort of burst into tears. What happened there?
Well, I don't know whether it was genuine or whether she was trying to get more publicity for herself, because she certainly got 15 minutes of fame. So it's always the case with these sorts of activists. They want to gain notoriety as well. Then it's inherently they want to drive a political agenda. This is what the feminists, when they push this issue, it's as we saw with the Me Too 2.0, the weaponization of the Brittany Higgins rape accusation, which was finally resolved in the federal court. With Federal Justice Michael Lee finding on the balance of probabilities that Bruce Lehman did rape Brittany Higgins, but found no evidence of a political cover-up conspiracy theory, which was used this rape accusation as a stick to whack Scott Morrison. So, and this is what makes Anthony Albanese what he did so damaging, because Labor are the default party for the third wave feminists, and this was this is a third wave feminist outfit that organised it. So they believe that trans women are women. It's been pointed out that these women are demanding the right to be safe, but want men in women's spaces.
How do we know if that was just an unfortunate run of events that you get every now and then, just statistically almost, because, you know, the Bondi stabbing is absolutely horrific. But, you know, you're dealing with someone obviously with serious mental illness questions. You know, schizophrenia is not it's not lightweight, and for so long, and we're aware of the other cases as well. But it's kind of calling it an epidemic, or whatever the word was used, of domestic violence. Is that just sort of milking it a bit, or do you think it really is an epidemic of domestic violence in Australia, something particularly related to the Australian culture that has produced this?
Well, what's repeated in our mainstream media is that a woman is killed every 4 days because of domestic violence, and they say that it's increased from several years ago when it was one woman a week. And I put it down to that, well, we are importing a lot of men from countries where there is not a lot of respect for women. I would certainly say that's a factor as well. Mm-hmm. But the emergency national cabinet meeting, the solution seemed to be more e-censorship. So Andrew Tate is the big boogeyman who is corrupting the minds of young boys and men. Now, obviously, Andrew Tate is quite a divisive figure, and I know that a lot of opinion on the dissident right is divided about him. I certainly don't think he's much of a person, let alone a man. But the fact that he is put up as well. It's if we censor his content, then it'll all be fixed. This is always the way that these sorts of issues are framed. Well, it's all that person's fault. If we there's always a moral panic about someone or something.
Yeah, you're not wrong there. Elon Musk, sort of related to this, Elon Musk, victory in court.
Yes, so 2 days after the Bondi stabbing, there was the stabbing of a Syrian bishop, Marmari Emmanuel, at the Christ of the Good Shepherd Church, alleged stabbing by a 16-year-old Islamist teenager.
No, it's all on video, isn't it? It's pretty damn obvious.
Oh, well, we always have to say Ian.
Okay, I got you. Yeah.
Because that's before the courts. He can't be named because he's a minor. And the parents, though, they've done media where they say, oh, he's a gentle soul. He just has anger issues.
Right, he looked really gentle in that video. Really gentle.
Yeah, so the video was the reason why the video was broadcast is because the bishop, who he's incredibly popular, he was in the news during the Sydney COVID lockdowns because he objected to the lockdowns and the mandates. The day after he was stabbed, there were these mainstream media hit pieces that he's a COVID conspiracy theorist. His sermons against the LGBTQ community. He believes that the United Nations was founded by Satan. That Joe Biden's election was illegitimate. But the thing is that,
well, it was.
Because the effect of this, the fact that a lot of people believe that he was saved by divine intervention, because as the boy was stabbing him, the pocket knife failed to open, so he was just basically stabbing him with.
Oh, so the blade really didn't go in.
And he actually sliced his own finger off the teenager, though.
Oh, crazy!
He did lose sight in one of his eyes. Bishop Marmari Emmanuel. He's returned to the pulpit. He's forgiven his attacker. He is a man of peace. He has visited Israel and Palestine. He wants to see a peaceful solution because he sees, that Christians are always caught in the crossfire when it comes to these Middle Eastern conflicts. He was born in Iraq. And the reason why the teenager attacked him is because he criticized Muhammad's conduct as a prophet.
Okay, so triggered.
Yes.
For one so young.
But I would say that because I've seen the clips in question that supposedly radicalized this teen to attack the bishop, it's very fair comment about the prophet Muhammad.
Yeah. And, you know, there's such a thing as freedom of speech. Now, who was the first to overreact to that? Was that the online safety commissioner?
Yes, Julie Bank Grant, who's a ex-Twitter employee. Now, I should inform your audience that she was reappointed by Scott Morrison for another 5-year term when he was Prime Minister. The Online Safety Act that she is utilising to issue these takedown notices to Twitter, X, Meta, Gab, to take down this video, which wasn't filmed by the teenage boy. It wasn't like Brenton Tarrant.
It was from the back of the church. Somebody in the congregation.
Yeah, live streams all of his services.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Yep.
She had a press conference saying that she's not afraid to use the phrase that she used was escalated powers, or she said I'm not hesitating to use more of their powers at my disposal.
She would have baggage though, wouldn't she? Ex Twitter employee, probably before the time of Elon Musk.
He's also gone after Billboard Chris
I've been watching him. Wow.
For so-called cyberbullying. against that a World Health Organization trans consultant who's into bestiality, BDSM, disgusting things, and also has been after that second wave feminist website Redux because they referred to Riley Dennis, who's an ex social justice warrior YouTuber who's now married to an Australian woman. I think married to a biological woman, so I'm not sure how you
can. Okay.
Their marriage has been playing New South Wales women's soccer.
Okay.
Yeah, so the eSafety Commissioner ordered that article be deleted in Australia.
And so the court has flipped that, is essentially what's happened?
This is in regard to the censorship, the takedown order of the stabbing of the bishop.
Yeah.
And the bishop himself said that he did not want it taken down. He did not want his attack used to censor freedom of speech. Now, I always thought you're supposed to respect the wishes of the victim. And
yeah, the actual person who was the actual victim. Yeah, it makes common sense.
So the federal court yesterday lifted the takedown order, the interim takedown order. So, but it's going to go back to court tomorrow. So this is a pre-trial judgment. So the videos are allowed back on X. And let's remember that the eSafety Commissioner wanted it taken down all around the world because
people
access it from via VPNs. And it was very interesting the reason that the eSafety Commissioner's lawyer argued that having it up would erode social cohesion, because this has been repeated verbatim, that because there was the riot afterwards outside the church, this mob attacked police cars and some assaulted police officers because they wanted to basically deliver instant justice to the boy themselves. So the fact that it was live streamed was blamed for the riot. And also this is so the reason for the censorship is to protect social cohesion, multicultural harmony, you know, all those buzzwords.
It's blancmange stuff, isn't it? I mean, it's so airy fairy. And
Australians can't see what's really happening in multicultural Australia because they might object.
Do we know what sort of support there was for that banning, not just in Australia, but around the world and in the universe or whatever? Do we know what the Australian public thought about that? Were they polled? Was there anything done to look into what they were thinking?
Well, the Australian public were polled for their opinion on increased powers for the eSafety Commissioner. So they back age verification for pornography, gambling and access to social media. Now, the justification of for this censorship, well, Tanya Plibersek, who's the environment minister, she said that this is not about free speech. We're not about this is not about censorship, and nobody would support child abuse material being online. Of course not. But this is always. They pass these regulations that it's to crack down on pedophiles and terrorists, but we're seeing with the eSafety Commissioner going after misgendering, censoring terrorist attacks that happen. It's always used for something else. Obviously, there is a case that young people their use of social media should be restricted, but
managed by their parents, hopefully.
Oh well, there's not much parental responsibility these days. That's why, because parents these days they are happy for the schools and the childcare centres to raise their children, and when the children are at home, they use the iPad as a distraction for
outsourcing their responsibilities. Let's say.
Yeah, so Peter Malinauskas, who's the South Australian Premier, has announced on social media that he wanted to ban under 14s from having social media accounts. I'm not sure how he as a state government can do it. And Jackie Lambie, the Tasmanian senator, said that Elon Musk should be in jail, compared social media use and abuse in young people to ICE.
I saw her rant, because it was a rant on that, and she sounded unhinged to me.
Oh, that's how she always...
Big time. Is that her, like, her gimmick, her kind of
image? Well, she claimed during the COVID lockdowns and mandates that getting the COVID vaccine was part of being a bloody Australian.
Yeah, no, Graham Hood isn't too happy about her. He told me one of our chats that we had. All right, we better move along. Time is always ticking. Western Sydney Council passes a motion to remove books on same-sex parenting. Boy, how did that happen? Who made that happen?
So the motion was moved by this independent councillor, Steve Christou, and he previously successfully passed a motion at the council to ban drag queen story time from all Cumberland city councils. So he told the media that parents had contacted him distraught after finding it on display in the toddler section of one of the libraries.
The toddler section, did I just hear you right?
Yes.
Crikey.
And he said, our kids shouldn't be sexualized. This community is very religious. It is fairly family orientated, whether they're Catholic, Orthodox, Islamic, Hindu, whatever their background, they all have the same belief, family, religious values and conservative. They don't want such controversial issues going against their beliefs indoctrinated to their libraries. This is not Marrickville or Newtown. This is Cumberland City Council. Hands off our kids. There should be no form of sexualization that should be accepted in council library books. I'm only representing the wishes of my community.
Boy, that's strident to pull a move like that. Takes confidence, doesn't it?
And so now the council has been accused of, and this councillor has been accused of promoting book banning. Now, of course, this book is not banned. It's just not available in that council's libraries. I mean, libraries can't carry every single book in existence
ever made. Yeah
I mean, if you're so desperate for that book, you can purchase it online, but the mainstream media pile on against the council and the councillor Steve Christou. The New South Wales Premier Chris Minns, his arts minister, has threatened to withdraw funding from the council, and has claimed that it might violate anti-discrimination laws. So,
gosh, some people can't read the room, it seems to me, and the way you've just described it, no actually addressing the issue, the content of the books and whether it's appropriate, just straight out, it's banning books.
Well, the councillor, Steve Christou, said that he hadn't read the book, though I think in this case a book can be judged by its cover.
Yep.
The front of the book is two men with a little boy.
Oh, okay.
the swing vote, because it carried the motion 6-5, was a Labor Muslim councillor. So his name, Muhammad, said he supported it. Supported the motion because of his religious beliefs, and he's actually been pre-selected to run for the Labor Party at the upcoming council elections. So they still want, even though the state Labor government is raging against the council, they're still endorsing a Muslim councillor who voted against it because they still want the Muslim votes. All the federal electorates that take in Cumberland City Council, they're all safe Labor electorates, and they all voted overwhelmingly no during the same-sex marriage post-war.
It's all over the show.
Yes, and this is also why the Labor MPs who hold those seats have been so vocally pro-Palestine and critical of Israel's Gaza war against Hamas.
Okay. What are the latest developments in that in Australia?
Australia voted for that UN resolution.
Yep, like we did. Yep.
Which is, it's to recognise that Palestine can make an application for UN membership. It's basically...
Meanwhile, the place is rubble. Yeah.
Well, Israel, of course, has moved into Rafah, but it seems that these brain-dead leftist students, they're determined to, well, it seems take the attention away from what's actually happening in Gaza with their cosplaying as Gazans. Local left-wing students here even though they're against colonization, they've imported these college encampment tents. So they've popped up at University of Sydney, University of Melbourne, Monash University, which is ironically named after Australia's most famous Jew and Zionist, Sir John Monash, and the University of Queensland. And the reason that I call them brain dead is because, they've now escalated into supporting Hamas and calling for infidata. I mean, a lot of them don't even know, I think. They just see, Israel backed by the West, they're oppressing these brown people. And so
it is true that the United States and probably others are supplying weaponry that's killing children in big numbers. So there is a point there. There is a point.
But it's made by people who they wouldn't defend. They're not people who defend our of freedoms. I mean,
they want to control us ultimately.
Yes. I mean, a few weeks back would have been part of Transtifa, the Extinction Rebellion, the Black Lives Matter. I mean, you saw Greta Thunberg
arrested again.
Change to free Palestine. So I know that some on the distant right are saying that these student encampments are they're raising valid points. I mean, they're still.
Yeah, but you know what it's like to be.
Overarching goal is, anti-white communism.
Well, you know, when you're young, you're idealistic, and you see things sometimes in quite a simple way. All right, moving on. Latest budgets have come through. Federal budget, I think, was happening last night. Victoria budget
happening tonight. The federal budget.
So tonight, Tuesday night.
Yes.
Yeah, gotcha. Okay, so there's that and also Victoria's position. So let's talk about those.
Yes, so we had our state budget last Tuesday, and the state debt, the projections have got even worse. So it's the state debt is now going to reach $188 billion by 2027-28, the interest bill per day will rise from $15 million to $25 million. There has been delays to some of their health, education and transport infrastructure builds. The airport rail link has been delayed for another 4 years. So it was supposed to be completed by 2029, but now it's been pushed out to 2033. Yep. But it's still full tunnelling ahead for the suburban rail loop, which I've talked about, which is designed to create these 15-minute apartment cities across Melbourne, which is in total, if it does ever all get built, is going to cost over $200 billion built over 50 years. The first part is going to cost $35
billion. So much. Yep.
And there's also the existing cost blowouts. So the Northeast Link a road tunnel that grew initially from 10 billion to 16 billion and to 26 billion. Though in what's already been leaked in the federal budget tonight is that Albanese will chip in an extra 3 billion for the Northeast Link. So I guess it's, you could call it a form of federal bailout.
Yep. Yeah.
So they say this is going to be for the non-tolled sections. So there's also has also been announced a $15 billion Made in Australia National Reconstruction Future Fund, and there is going to be $3 billion reduction in HECS debt. So that's our student loan system. So that's changing the indexation on the interest on the student loans. And they're also funding $940 million for this quantum computer startup in Australia.
Okay. Oh, dear. Quantum computers. They're a worry.
When it's reported in the media, the ordinary person goes, wow, quantum computer, that sounds like it'll be super fast, fancy. I can't wait for that. But
well, it can calculate everything in an instant, and I mean everything. It's actually, if it's used inappropriately, it's actually a scary thing.
It might be used for the future Australian digital ID system. So the legislation for digital ID is now before the House of Representatives after passing the Senate. There were national rallies against a national ID, which occurred a week ago. We've also got the rollout of a digital driver's license in Victoria via the Service Victoria app, where the Victorians will remember that's what vaccine passport and QR contact tracing codes were on.
Nothing to see there. Let's wind up on this. Have you got any update for us on the criminal migrants?
I'll start with some good news is that the High Court, dismissed the ASF 17 migration case. So this was this Iranian asylum seeker who was refusing to cooperate with immigration officials. He claimed that he'd be persecuted in Iran because he was bisexual. A lot of them either say this or that they're Christians. So the High Court ruled that he can be kept in immigration detention because it's his own uncooperation that's keeping him there. You sort of wonder if the High Court was influenced by the backlash to the NZYQ decision last year, which led to the Albanese government releasing 149 criminal and national security high-risk detainees. And another one has reoffended of that criminal cohort. So his name, Majid Jamishi Dogshekshin, who arrived illegally in Australia from Kuwait, took part in a home invasion in Perth, tied up this elderly couple and 73-year-old Annette Zyman's grandmother. She was brutally bashed. They stole about $200,000 worth of jewellery. Like, you sort of think you've tied them up. They're old people. They're not going
to
get
away. Do you have to go harder than that, for God's sake?
And it also has been revealed that another asylum seeker took part in that as well. His name, Saeed Tanos Tami from Iran, now also arrived in Australia illegally, but even though had been convicted of crimes and had refugee status revoked, was released when Peter Dutton was the Home Affairs Minister in 2020 for unknown reasons. Now, back to the criminal detainee who was recently released. He wasn't wearing an ankle bracelet because the Community Protection Board deemed that he didn't need one, even though he'd breached his curfew. So this Community Protection Board, which Anthony Albanese has tried to claim it's independent of the government, even though the Home Affairs Minister has veto power, so can overrule. But, this Community Protection Board, it doesn't seem to be doing much protecting.
No. All right, Tim, thanks for that update from Australia. Tim Wilms from the unshackled.net joining us again every Tuesday morning here at RCR. Great to be back with you, and I look forward to catching up again next Tuesday.
Likewise as well. Great to be back, and great that RCR is back.
If Reality Check Radio enriches your day in life, support us to keep bringing you the content, voices, perspectives, and the dose of reality you won't get anywhere else. Visit www.realitycheck.radio/donate.